All right, here we go. We ready?
I guess. I was born ready.
Welcome to M Vibes Podcast.
Home of good music,
good libations,
and good vibes.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of M Vibes Podcast. Season 4, episode 7, and we are at a very special place today. Saluo. I would call it Salu Beer Shop, but we're actually upstairs at the brewery.
What's Salu Cerveceria?
There you go. I couldn't say it, so.
Cerveceria.
Okay. Thank you. Anyways, we're up here today. We have a very special guest, the owner and the owner of both places, Jason Glantz, fellow Michigander.
Go Blue.
Go Blue. That's right. And of course, we're drinking. So Ernest is here, myself and Jason. Yeah. Ernest, what are you drinking?
I have two can win.
It's our payload collab with us and our friends at Petty Thieves on the street.
Oh, yeah, nice. Ryan,
good friend of ours.
Yeah.
I am drinking other half Poetry Snaps Rice Lager.
Nice.
My friends up in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Always funky friend. I'm drinking daily fruit punch seltzer from Petty Thieves
as well.
Drift. Yeah, it's good. It's like drinking alcoholic high C, full of sugar. I'm gonna get diabetes. That's okay. Anyways, Jason, why don't you tell us about Salud and how you ended up down here, moving here from Michigan?
Yeah, so my mom's side of the family is from Michigan. Manistee, Michigan, northwest Michigan, right on the lake, about an hour below Traverse City, 2 hours northwest of Grand Rapids. My dad's actually from Indiana. I was actually born in Houston. My family moved to Houston early 80s. Everybody's moving down there for jobs, and I don't really have any connections down there. And then I lived in Michigan for a little bit, and then went back to Houston, and then moved here when I was 6.
Oh, okay.
So wow. I moved to Charlotte when I was 6 in 1988. I spent pretty much all my winter breaks and summer breaks back in Michigan. Mm-hmm. My cousins and my grandpa, my uncles, yeah, and all my friends. So it's funny, when I opened Salud, I had so much Michigan stuff, people thought I just moved here.
Yeah.
But it's weird because I don't feel Southern. I moved here when I was a kid.
Yeah.
My family's from the Midwest. Either. Yeah. I don't like sweet tea. I don't like pimento cheese. I love Business and Gravy. I love Bojangles.
Yeah.
But I don't feel Southern. My family wasn't Southern. I don't feel that. But I love where I live. I love Charlotte. All my kids were born here and met my wife here, and it's home.
You've been here longer than any of us.
Yeah.
I moved down here summer of 96. So, yeah.
Yeah, I moved here in 88. I was 6. I moved here the year the Hornets came.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. I grew up, people think I would assume that I would be like a Pistons fan. I grew up actually a Bulls fan because I loved Jordan so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Tigers fan.
But right, that damn team was stacked back in the day, though, man. The fucking Bulls.
Yeah. Oh,
man.
So I lived
in Chicago in the early 90s, too.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, well, yeah.
And it was a good time.
Yeah.
Great. So I was a Jordan guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't like the Pistons. I'm a massive Tigers fan, Red Wings, die-hard Wolverines fan.
Yeah.
But I was a Lions fan, and then when I was a kid, Barry Sanders retired, and then the Panthers came, so I became a Panthers fan. Although,
I can't do it.
I will admit this. I told all my friends that if the Panthers would have drafted C.J. Stroud from Ohio State, I would have went back to the Lions. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't, so I'm still a Panthers fan, and I'm a Hornets fan. As you can tell downstairs, we have a lot of old-school Hornets memorabilia. So I rep Michigan Wolverines number one, Tigers, Red Wings, Hornets.
Yeah.
So I have a mix, but, I love it up there and all my family up there and my heritage up there, but Charlotte's home, and I love it here.
Yeah, me too. I laugh at family when it's March and they're out there shoveling snow. You guys can have it.
Well, it's funny. So what we do is, when I was a kid, I would go up in summer. Well, I didn't really have a choice, but I would go with my family for summer and winter breaks. And when you're a kid, it's winter breaks are amazing. You get the snowmobile and snow, you know, you're there for a week. Now we go up to Michigan for the 4th of July. And my wife's Dominican, so we go to Dominican Republic for New Year's because Dominican Republic is way too hot in 4th of July.
Yeah.
Michigan's way too cold in New Year's. So we pick and choose, you know, where we go depending on the weather and the time
Michigan's
of year.
Michigan's nice in July, but the fucking mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They're insane
They're worse than Dominican Republic.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
But, yeah. And the nice thing in Michigan when you go in the summertime is the sun goes down at 10:30.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nice. You get to, you know, you're hanging out at the local little dive bar, and you're like, oh, it's 10:30.
Yeah,
sunlight up.
I've actually flown from Tampa to Detroit mid summer, and like the sun was going down in Tampa, and I landed in Detroit, and the sun was still up. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, it's nice. It's crazy. Yeah,
I love it up there, man. It's the people, the food, and everybody's so welcoming and nice, and it's nice because I'm from a really small town where my family's from, so I get away from the city and the hustle and bustle, and for a week or two, I just get to hang out with old friends and family, and it's great, man. The dive bar situation up there is incredible.
Low bat blue.
Yeah, man. You go to the Elks Club, you order a Bacardi and Coke and a High Life, and it's like $3.50.
Yeah.
And you're like, how is this possible?
It's nice.
Love a good dive bar.
Up there, the dive bars are seriously amazing, and the food and how nice everybody is. We love it.
So how'd you come to open Salute?
So I started in college. I went to Queens here, University in Charlotte. I played basketball my first 2 years in school, and then my daughter was born. My daughter was born. I was 19 my sophomore year in college, and I kind of had to make a decision. So I keep trying to play basketball. And to be honest, I was playing Division II basketball. I'm a 6'2 white guy playing shooting guard at Division II basketball. I wasn't going to the NBA. So man. I stayed in school. I quit the basketball team, and I started working and just to make money because I had a kid to raise and feed. And I did finish school and got my degree. But while I was in school, I decided to get a job. And the first job I got was a busboy at a restaurant. So then I just
got Cowfish, right?
No, my first job was at, I did open Cowfish back in the day, but my first job was at Buca di Beppo in South End.
Oh.
In the corner in South Boulevard. I was a busboy, and that's how I got into the industry and just learned.
Buca's.
Yeah, moved up from there, and, oh, sorry, I take that back, Carrabba's.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Then I went to Buca di Beppo down in Pineville, and I worked there for years, but by that point, I was, like, bartending and waiting tables and... And it was the best experience in your life. I feel like everybody should, it's almost like military service in a way. In some countries, they make you do military service. I feel like everybody should have to wait tables and be a service industry person for a year just to learn how to be humble and take care of people.
Didn't work, yeah.
Yeah, because you do a lot of bullshit.
My 15-year-old daughter just got hired at Carowinds to wait on people. And I'm like, oh, my God, how is this going to go?
I'm telling you right now, there's nothing better. You know, you learn to... You know, the reason I opened Salute eventually what I love is teaching people about new things, new drinks, new beverages, new food, and showing them a good time and creating an experience for them. I love that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that that's my favorite part of the business is teaching people about a new beer. You know, we opened the bottle shop in 2012, which, I mean, compared to now, was like light years. It was a different world.
It was.
I mean, you think about it. The kids, say you're 22 years old and you're going out to breweries now, right?
Yep.
Well, we opened 11 years ago. Those kids were like 11 years old.
Yeah, true.
So think about it. You know, like we were introducing people to sour beer. We were introducing people to all these new things. It was like an amazing, amazing time in the craft beer world.
Mm-hmm. I think my first sour beer was downstairs.
Yeah, it was incredible, man. It was a great time.
It was a Goza, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I remember us like teaching people, no, it's okay, man. You know, and doing Sourfest next door to the neighborhood theater, and it was great. It was a perfect time to open and just to see how craft beer has evolved and how these young. It's funny I sound like an old man because these young kids now don't know how good they have it.
Right,
they can drink whatever they want. They can drink everything that we could drink plus seltzers and you know cocktails and cans and
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
Wine out of cans.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool to see how everything evolved and still trying to, the best part of the job is showing people, try this, try something different. Go out of your comfort zone. Go out. I love that. I love trying to get people to try new things. And if they don't like it, that's fine. But at least try.
You know, every time I walk in, if you're here, the first thing out of my mouth was like, hey, Eric, we got that. It's new, man. Try that.
Yeah. That's the best part. That's the part of the job that I love. You know, it's a lot of stress, man. It's not easy.
No.
It's getting harder and harder. And there's times where, you know, it's been 11 years and you've been in this industry this long. You're like, man, what am I doing? I still want to do this. But at the end of the day, the best part is teaching people, getting people to try new experiences, new drinks, new food. I love it.
Wasn't Salute voted best beer bar in the world? Or in the country?
It was close.
We've been very lucky. We've been nominated for some really cool awards. So we won we got voted best beer bar in America from USA Today. We won three years in a row.
Okay. Yep.
And then this past couple months ago, we were nominated for a James Beard Award for best bar.
Oh shit.
Oh, James Beard.
Which is incredible.
Oh yes. Wow.
Because we don't sell liquor.
Yeah.
We're just a brewery, brew pub that sells wine and beer, and we make pizza, you know, so we're a small, humble spot in the corner. We're not a big restaurant group. We don't have PR. We don't pay for any of that stuff. So that was an amazing, amazing experience, and we're very humbled, and I still don't know how they even found us, let alone nominated us, and I found out.
Word of mouth, man.
Well, it's funny. You know how I found out? So I keep up with James Beard and all that stuff. I keep up with what's going on around the country with restaurants and stuff. And I never thought that we would be even in that category, but they created last year best bar program.
Okay.
Which we were nominated for, which before we never would have even been. James Beard was like fancy restaurants. We never would have been a part of it. So I know James Beard was coming out, but I never thought we would be. I found out my friend, he writes for Axios, Charlotte, okay. Michael, and he messaged me. He's like, hey man, what do you think about the James Beard? And I was like, what are you talking about? And then my phone just started blowing. I literally had no clue.
Wow.
And my phone started blowing up. So it was a surreal experience to even be nominated, man. There's only 20 bars in America.
Wow.
And we don't even sell liquor.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow.
You know, there was a couple other breweries, our friends at Scratch and American Solera in Oklahoma. They were all nominated as well, which was amazing to even have breweries that don't sell liquor to be on that list.
But, I mean, you don't keep any bullshit on tap downstairs. You have a very good selection of cans and bottles and, you know, mead and whatever else on the shelf, man. Yeah. Just a cool-ass atmosphere, too.
Yeah, so. But also we're like a little spot in the corner in Charlotte. Like, who would have thought that James Beard or whoever
awesome.
Nominates people for James Beard. I still don't know how we got nominated or how they found out. Like, that's pretty amazing.
That's awesome. That's fucking...
Because we don't, again...
Right here in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah. Somebody's looking out for you.
Yeah.
Somebody, and it's great because we don't pay. We don't have PR.
Yeah.
I was going to say, a lot of these places, they have their own PR people who contact James Beard and say, hey.
I guess. I don't even know how that works. But all I know is that we love our product that we put out. We stand behind it. We try to, like, for example, our food. So we make our ranch in-house. We make our blue cheese in-house. We make our dough, our pizza sauce. Everything's in the house. Our cheese, we get in blocks. We cut it ourselves. We get no pre-shredded cheese.
No shit. Awesome.
No, we use Bianco tomatoes from California, which are some of the best tomatoes to make pizza sauce. Like, we don't take any, cut any corners.
Wow.
And you got to do that, man, because we're like a little brewery, so people assume we have some little, like, Pizzamatic machine in the back. No, we have a wood-fired oven in the back from Italy that we make our pizza on. So we take pride in our food. We take pride in the beer that we make. And we try to... you know, show that to the people and hope that they love it.
I mean, the evolution of what has happened here, like downstairs was food at Salute for a while. Those waffle chicken sandwiches were the bomb, man. I used to come in for those all the time.
That was Jeff. So we subleased the food to Jeff. That was his. I'm not going to take credit for that. That was all him, 100%.
Okay.
So we subleased the food to Jeff at Food at Salute, and he created that. That's all his. He had Guy Fieri coming here.
Oh, really?
That's all we were.
You know what? I saw that episode. Yeah.
And that's all Jeff, who used to run Food at Salute, that's his thing. So he gets 100% credit for that.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And then he left, and we created our own food, and we decided to do wood-fired pizza. We thought it would be perfect with a beer. and the wine that we serve, and it's worked for now. It's been great.
How did you guys start brewing your own beer? Or what made you want to go that route?
Well, you got to be ahead of the game. So
yeah,
we were just like a bottle shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I figured, okay, now breweries are opening up, so people want to go to brewery tap rooms. So what if we had a brewery, and then you could go downstairs and sell the bottle shop?
Okay. Yeah.
Now we got our own beer. You can have the tap room experience. And then you go downstairs and buy other people's beer from around the country, around the neighborhood that we are friends that we love to sell. And you can have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And then we added the food. You got to have everything. You got to have a well-rounded experience. You know, when we opened in 2012, we were just a little bottle shop. We didn't even sell wine. And you could do that back then. But you can't do that now. You can't. If you open a brewery tap room today, you better have food. If you don't have food, you're dead in the water. I'm
right,
sorry.
Yeah.
You got to have food.
Everyone's got a
yes.
food truck. Yeah.
So for example, we sell a lot of wine. We sell a lot of food. So we got people that come now that don't even care about beer.
Really?
They just want to get food, and they want to, or maybe they don't drink. They just want pizza to go with for their family for the weekend, and might get a bottle of wine. But that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
You know, in 2012, when you got a little bottle shop and 1,000 square feet, you can sell sour beer to all the beer nerds and stuff.
Yeah.
We can still do that, but on top of that, we can sell you pizza and wine and not even alcohol if you just want to get pizza to go.
Everything you need.
Yes. You gotta. Got to be ready, and you got to be ready to evolve or you die.
Yeah.
Good story. So that's what we did, and we got our little corner, and we're humbled, and we're very happy just to have this little corner. I don't really have big grand plans to expand, or I don't want to. I like that you can only pretty much get our beer here.
Yeah.
There's a couple places it trickles out to. You know, our Del Patio cans is like our house lager, and we have some kegs go out in the market, but that's not really the main focus of our business. We like keeping it tight and keeping it here, and you can get the whole experience here. We don't have any plans to be a big, massive brewery.
Where do you brew at? Heist?
Yeah, we brew down the street at Heist.
Yeah.
They've been amazing and let us brew there, and we have our own brewer and everything.
Nice.
We have fooders here on site that we did a lot of our sours, our wild ales that we have available. So, but yeah, I'm good where I'm at, and I just want this little corner, and I'm happy.
Yeah, it's awesome here, man. I mean, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this episode here, which is, by the way, I don't even think I've said it yet. It's going to be like a old school history of hip hop, like a brief history. There will be a lot of artists that I'm going to talk about, a lot of people that I won't mention. But don't worry, we'll do other episodes in the past. I can't talk about everybody today. But your old slogan used to be what? Nintendo.
Sour beer.
Sour beer. Old school hip hop.
Salud.
Yeah. Salute.
So now we got different ones. We got this is in Spanish. We got cervecería, vino natural, pizza, café, arte, salud. So there's a lot of different things we become.
Yeah.
We got natural wine now. We got pizza. We got breakfast. We got coffee. We got beer. We got wine. We got seltzer. We got cider. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
We don't have liquor. Everything. Other than liquor, we got everything.
And if you ever come here and hang out, one thing that you'll always hear here is hip hop.
Yeah, we play a lot of hip hop.
I very rarely hear anything. I think I came in once and there was a dude playing some punk, which
it depends,
which
man.
I don't mind, but yeah,
we mix it up. We play a lot of hip hop. You know, during the day, I try to watch what we play because people bring their kids in and stuff. So
yeah,
I don't want to be too hardcore. We have like a clean playlist. We play a lot of reggaeton. We play a lot of Latin stuff too, as well, upstairs. So we mix it up. We actually have a playlist I created during the quarantine called Salud Quarantine Mix on Spotify. It's actually linked on our Instagram. It's 91 hours long.
91 hours?
Yeah. I keep adding to it, man. So
I thought I was bad. I got one that'll last a week.
It's like 3 years long, but I add everything. We got hip-hop, obviously.
Yeah.
Funk, reggae, salsa, merengue, reggaeton. Like, all the stuff I love, man. So that playlist is 91 hours long.
Wow, that's awesome.
So if anybody is on Spotify or follows our Instagram.
You know what? We will put a link to that in our story.
Every day I add to it.
Everything good, Ernest? Are we in focus?
Hold on.
By the way, I'm wearing my marvelous third base shirt that I ordered straight from MC Search's website called Melted Microphones. It's a cool-ass site, man.
So what people don't realize about MC Search is he was a part of Nas's Illmatic
mm-hmm.
with Searchlight Publishing. He was a big part of KMD, which was the original group that MF Doom was in.
Doom, yeah. So,
yeah, search it. Has a lot of history in the hip-hop world that people might not know about.
And he lived for a long time in Detroit.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was on Detroit Talk Radio for a long time. So that, besides Brooklyn, that's like the other place that he actually lived. So, okay. Yeah. Anyways, we can start talking about hip-hop.
Yeah.
It all started in the 1970s, which, by the way, happy birthday, hip-hop. You're as old as I am. Well, I'm not quite 50. I'll be 50 soon, but this is hip-hop's 50 years. Birthday. Yeah. Yep. 1973. I'm as old as rap, so it's awesome. So doing some research, they'll say it all started in the Boogie Down Bronx with DJ Kool Herc, who mixed two of the same record on two turntables and just played the same thing in a loop over and over. And that's how they say hip-hop was born, man.
Yeah, there's a great book I read. I read a lot of books. I got a pretty big book collection. Can't Stop, Won't Stop. It's a great book about the history of hip-hop
in
the Bronx in the 70s and how it started. You know, a lot of it was break records. So people just looped the breaks over and over, disco records.
Yep.
Kool Herc was of Jamaican descent, so a lot of reggae records and they would just play them over and over.
I didn't know Herc was from Jamaica.
He was Jamaica, and then he, so the DJs back in the day, the DJs were the stars, man. They were the ones that play the breaks, and then
right.
The MC thing started with just people trying to hype up the crowd, and, talking shit and trying to get everybody excited and over the but the DJs were the stars starting out, man. Grandmaster Flash, Kool Herc, those original
Red Alert,
plays in all Bronx, those guys. Yeah, Red Alert in the Bronx. All those guys were the originals before the MCs were the stars.
And it was just them trying to make their own music, trying to make something that they could relate to. So 1979, the first hip-hop song was, of course, can you guess it? I think.
Yeah, but Rapper's Delight, Rapper's Delight was kind of bullshit. It was like.
I kind of like it, but it was.
Yeah, it's fine, but it was like put together by some record company. They basically took the lyrics from other people, but yes.
And
Tila Rock is yours too.
Yeah.
It was the first with Rick Rubin and
that was the first Def Jam song. Yeah.
That song is a classic and yes, 100%. But I know some of the hardcore hip hop people from back in the day have a problem with it. It brought hip hop to the masses, let's say. And
it did.
It's a good thing at the end of the day.
I didn't know that they were from Jersey either, man.
It was just put together by the record company. It was a kind of a.
Can you play it for us, Ernest? It's a long ass song, though.
No, at the end of the day, it's a classic, and hey, it brought hip hop to the mainstream and got white kids like us in the hip hop.
Yeah, and I think they sampled Chic here, right?
Yeah.
Good Times.
Yeah.
I think the Beastie Boys also sampled this. Yeah, you know. This was dope. I mean, even my kids who are 10 and 15 know this song now. It's all because of me. I mean, they don't go out of the way to find it.
This is the bass line from Queen.
I said a hip
Anyways.
The groove and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike, and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white,
and then
the red,
in
and
1982, and I'm just gonna run through a few artists from the 80s here. So, 1982, Grandmaster Flash in the Furious Five, The Message, which was an awesome song, and I did not know the lyrics were written in reprise from the 1980 New York City transit strike. Ice Cube sampled this too.
Oh yeah.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Yeah. I smell food. I smell pizza with onions on it. was telling some friends the other night. I said, I would give my left nut for a good slice of pizza. They're like, really? I'm like, I'm eating like gluten-free pizza that made taste like cardboard, man.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
And then in 1986, one of the first crossover songs, Run DMC sampled Aerosmith's Walk This Way. They didn't want to sample it, and they said Rick Rubin got involved. He's like, why don't you guys be on the song with him and just not do a remake? Let's redo it with fucking Aerosmith. And it became a humongous hit for him. I believe this song was like number one for a long time.
Yeah, so I'm 41. I was born in 82, so I'm younger.
You're only 41?
Yeah.
Jesus, dude.
So, but I'm younger, but from what I love hip hop. I've researched a lot of it. This is when hip hop crossed over. You had the white kids in the suburbs. I mean, you had white kids in the suburbs singing Public Enemy. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, man.
Not even knowing what they were saying. You know.
That was me, and then I what got.
I got that patch on my vest too, man. Public Enemy to me will go down as one of the greatest hip hop acts of all time. And I've talked about this before on the show, so Flavor Flav can eat a dick. But Chuck D is this fucking bomb. He was awesome.
Yeah.
I think last New Year's, because Terminator X lives up in Raleigh.
Really?
He owns a fucking ostrich farm up in Raleigh. So he comes into town sometimes and does shows. He was going to come in. Well, he did come in last New Year's Eve, but the place that he was going to play was Wild Wing Cafe up in, like, the university. I'm like,
Come on, man.
There are better venues than Wild Wing Cafe for Terminator X. So.
A lot of those guys live. I know Big Daddy Kane lives in Durham for a long time. I think PMD lives in Charlotte.
There are a lot of from my APMD rappers that live here in Charlotte.
Yeah.
My boy Troy, his frat house is off of Statesville Avenue. He said Grand Poopa is there.
Really?
Quite often. And Greg Nice.
Yeah, so I saw him. I know he was in town. I went to Airbnb Rock Kim concert, and he was in the crowd, and they brought him up.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, remember that?
So I know a lot of acts play next door at the neighborhood theater. Do they ever come through here and have some beers?
Was that?
Any acts, like any?
Nah, man, sometimes they get food to go. A lot of those people, you get those old school groups, man, a lot of them don't drink anymore. Like, well, you know, they went to the wild times. They eat pizza.
Yeah, true. Well, I can just imagine walking in, because I saw Goody Mob.
So that's the last. So I will say this. That's the last hip-hop show I went to next door. So when I was, before I went to Salute, I remember I went to Nas in 2004 in Neighborhood Theater. They used to do a lot of hip-hop shows, and they didn't really do that many at Neighborhood Theater anymore. I wish they would do more. The last one I went to was Goody Mob, and all four, CeeLo, everybody was there, man. It was
a great show.
Man. Yes, great show.
I was there.
Yes.
I went with Javier, and he did his Irish goodbye again, and just kind of fucking vanished.
Hey, man. I get it.
Yeah. I was like, hey, man, where are you? He's like, dude, I was drunk. I just walked home.
That's what I was going to say.
He could walk home.
Yeah. He lives right down the block, so.
I will say, the one thing about growing up here is I graduated high school in 2000, and that was at the height of, like, Master P and No Limit.
That is one genre of rap. I don't fucking
know. But no, it's funny. So I don't either. So I remember Master P and No Limit and the Hot Boys were blown up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being in the South, and I was hardcore New York hip-hop guy.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, the Roots, Common, Mos Def, Tyler Cool.
East Coast shit. Yeah,
I was in all the underground shit. I used to hate the only Southern rap, but then I was obsessed with Outkast and Goody Mob.
Yeah.
They were from the South.
The Dungeon.
But it was different, man. It was.
Talk about soon, yeah.
Really hard to explain. It was so different. I mean, you could play their music now, and it sounds like it came out.
It came out. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
But I was hardcore East Coast, like underground, like backpack rap guy. And the only Southern shit I would listen to was Goody Mob and Outkast.
And then, like, Ludacris came out.
Yeah, and Ludacris is fine. All that's cool. I've been, you know, fuck with T.I. and all that stuff is cool. Jeezy. Mm-hmm. But like, when I was coming up in school, I was like a hardcore New York guy, New York. I was messing with Dr. Dre and a little bit of the West Coast stuff. But I mean, you look at our, so for example, you take our pizzas, they're all named after Outkast.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. So I happen to have a menu right here. So.
So there's one. So we have the Latin Lingo is a Cypress Hill song. Other than that, we have Tenderoni, which is Bobby Brown.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Other than that, it's all Outkast songs.
Return of the G, Hootie Who. Oh, yeah. Southern Play a Minute. I can't say it. Southern Play a Minute. It's a Latin Lingo.
That's a Cypress Hill song.
Yeah, I know. I fucking love Cypress Hill, man. Man, you're right. Humble Mumble. Millennium. That was her last album.
Of course,
right?
He's right.
Yeah. I named him, man.
Yeah.
But so. But you know what? For me, it's like half the people that come in here don't even know who Outkast is, but I don't care. That's like something fun we try to do, that the people that get it, get it. The people that don't, whatever. They order the food, they enjoy the food. It doesn't matter. I just like having those little nostalgic little things around for people that are my age that understand it and they get it and they love it. And that's fun for me, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
if you don't know who they are, it's fine. Just order your food.
I would love to hear someone order the Southern Play Monistic, though.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah, the Southern whatever that is. Yeah.
I mean, it's trying to get people the best part is trying to get people to say cerveceria.
No. like me earlier, yeah.
Yeah, man.
92 is when Outkast hit the scene. Yeah. Antoine, Big Boy, and Andre 3000.
I was in the seventh grade. And I remember because
I graduated high school when that shit came out. So
I remember.
What year?
I graduated.
92. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I was somewhere in the Middle East.
Hey, you guys are old as shit.
Yeah. Fuck you, man.
I graduated 2000. So I remember seventh grade. Outkast came out the first album. And I always remember, it was like every other year. So 7th grade, 9th grade, 11th grade, freshman year in college, their album would come out every other year. I remember waiting in line at like Media Play or like Best Buy or whatever. Places aren't even open. Circuit City, whatever's not even open anymore. And just waiting. I remember in my freshman year in college, I think it was Equimini, we were trying to download it on Napster. And every song was like bullshit. It wasn't an actual song.
Oh, yeah.
I remember staying up all night waiting for the album to download on Napster.
And then
LimeWire,
yeah.
So that was when I was in college. That was my freshman year of college. So I remember that we watched Chappelle's show, and then we would try to download that jazz album, man. Those were the good times, you know. Like, you had to work hard, man. You had to love that shit. You had to really, like, sit there and try to download the whole album, and then one of the songs would be, like, bullshit, and you have to try to find it. And those are good memories, man.
And then you'd have to burn them all to one CD.
And I sold them. I was selling them at school.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, man. So we would sell them. Awesome. Yeah, I remember even in high school, man, my friend. So my thing was always, I'm not a technical person. So even with beer, right? So my friend would DJ, right? But I can barely put a light bulb, screw a light bulb in, but I can come up with an idea.
Yeah.
So I can't cook pizza, but I can give you an idea what the ingredients I want.
Okay.
I can't brew beer, but I can tell you what I want.
Yeah.
I can't mix a record, but I can tell you what songs to play. Mm-hmm. So the part of the brain that works for me is the creative part.
Yeah,
I'm not technical in any way at all. I'm really bad at it. But I can create a playlist for you. Don't ask me to mix it.
Yeah.
But I can create a playlist. I can put a pizza ingredient list together. Don't ask me to cook it. I can put a beer together. Don't ask me to brew it.
Yeah.
But I understand that that's what I'm good at and I understand what I'm not good at. So I align myself with people who are good at those other things so we can work together.
Make your environment a product of you. Don't be a product of your environments. I preach that to my kids.
Find the people that are passionate about that side, who are talented on that side, that I have no talent on the technical side. Like our brewer, Dustin's an amazing guy. He can brew beer all day. He's a talented guy. I cannot do what he does. I can give him ideas, and that's all I can do. So same thing with music. I can create a playlist. I got a 91-hour playlist right now. Don't ask me to mix that shit, because I can't do it. I suck at that. But it's about finding,
shuffle, man. Just do a shuffle.
Yeah,
all right.
It's about finding what you're good at and aligning yourself with people who know the other parts of the business.
Yeah. Music's my Cliff Clavin talent. So is HVAC work. But besides that, I got nothing, man.
Yeah, man. Hey, you work with what you like and what you're good at.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their own thing.
Yeah, it's fun. So the Outcast formed a little group called the Dungeon Family, which we were starting to talk about earlier with Goody Mob. They nicknamed it the Dungeon Family because they recorded in producer Rick Wade's studio in his mom's basement.
Yeah, Rico Wade, Organized Noise.
Yeah, Organized Noise.
Right, Outcast, there's actually a documentary about them on maybe Amazon Prime or Netflix.
Dude, Prime has got some solid shit on there.
Yeah, but there's Organized Noise. A documentary somewhere on the internet about Organized Noise. It's great. Yeah. And those dudes literally, I mean, because when Outkast, I think their first album, they were like 18. I think they were in high school.
Yeah. And I did not know until we did a Christmas episode, and we all chose some songs to play, like weird songs.
Players Ball was on the Christmas album.
Yeah, it's a Christmas song. Yeah. It's awesome. And I did not know that Killer Mike got a start from them, too.
Killer Mike started from them.
Who later became the... one of the MCs for one of my favorite groups now.
Run the Jewels, yeah.
Run the Jewels, yeah.
So it's funny. So LP, the other part of Run the Jewels, he was part of Company Flow.
Yep.
Which was an independent New York hip-hop group that was on Ruckus Records in like 99, 2000. So when I was in high school, that's the shit that we were selling. I would make mixtapes and sell them in high school. My
friend,
DJ, we would sell mixtapes. So it'd be like Mos Def, Tully Quali.
Oh, yeah.
Even Eminem when he was like, or with Dre, when he was like doing his freestyle shit, his 8 Mile stuff.
Yeah.
Like we would have Eminem would be on some of the underground tapes. And this is before he did this.
That was way before anyone knew who the fuck he was.
Jay Dilla, Slum Village, another Detroit.
Slum Village,
legendary group.
Yeah.
Proof, the D12 people. So we would make mixtapes and sell them to the people that didn't like No Limit and like Hot Boys.
Proof was a shit though, man, because before he died, he went and squashed the beef between like all the Detroit MCs.
Yeah, yeah. He was a connection between like Jay Dilla and Eminem, which they never really worked much together, but he was a connection because he used to host all the open mic nights in Detroit. And from what I've read a lot of books. I wasn't there, obviously, but a lot of the history I've read that he was like the mayor of the underground hip hop scene in Detroit.
Yeah, yeah.
And he connected everybody who might never work together.
Like
from different cliques or from different parts of Detroit. You know, Detroit's different. Detroit and Charlotte. Detroit's a different world.
It's a completely different deal. Yeah.
You got Detroit and you got the suburbs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so especially back then. You know, he was the guy that connected everybody. From what I've read and the stories I've heard, that he was the mayor, and he was kind of like the guy in Amon, the character that Mekhi Phifer played in Amon was based on Proof.
Yeah.
And everybody loved the guy, so it was a...
He was awesome.
A tragedy, man, but it's...
Rest in peace, Proof.
Detroit's... There's no joke there, man. So you have to be careful.
I've taken my wife to some parts. I'm like, all right, you don't ever turn down these streets. You just keep on going straight.
Yeah.
I've had times when I was driving down the street and I was pointing at a sign and someone thought I was pointing at them and they, like, waved the gun at me. I've had people follow me home and pull up in my driveway behind me because they thought I... tossing the bird or cut him off while I was driving. I'm like, God damn.
And you know, where my family's from is like the opposite. They're from the north. They're from the other side of the state and the lake and a small town. But I've been to Detroit like, you know, 10 or 12 times in my life. And every time I've been there, man, I've had a good experience.
Yeah. You know, I love that city.
It's different now, but at the end of the day, it's still a great place. And people from there have pride and they love where they're from and they love the Tigers. They love the Lions, you know.
Yeah.
Every time I visit there, I have a great time, and you know it's a classic American city that time almost forgot, and everybody there.
We almost lost it there for a while.
But you know what, man? You go there and you have some of the best food of your life because people are there hustling, people are there pride in what they do, they love where they're from. I've had some of the best food I've ever had. Asian food, Middle Eastern food there is incredible.
And a lot of that food got invented because of the people working at the factories at the time. Made their own custom food to eat really quick on their breaks,
The pizza there.
Tweaked it. Yeah, yeah.
Middle Eastern food's incredible.
Buddy's Pizza.
Obviously, the brewery scene. Mm-hmm. It's a great, great American city. I love it. I love visiting there. Anytime I go to Ann Arbor for a Wolverines game, we fly to Detroit. Obviously, you go to Detroit. I love it, man. I love it. Go Tigers as well. I'm a massive Tigers fan. All my family, my great grandmother, when I would go to Michigan in the winter, I was a kid. Her Christmas tree was all Tigers ornaments.
Oh, nice.
Even to this day, my grandfather, we still talk every time. Every day, we text after the Tigers game.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you know, talk about the game. My grandpa's still around. He's like 83.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
So up there, and whenever I go up to visit in the fourth, we go up there for a week every year, and the best part of my trip is every time I make sure to go to my grandpa's and we watch the Tigers game together.
Yeah.
It's just a random July game. It doesn't really mean anything, but
yeah,
those 2-3 hours that we get to spend
together.
It's
still fun, though.
To watch the Tigers, and it's priceless, man, you know, so.
I missed the old stadium. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. It's funny when you go to Corktown and you drive by it, and you see the stadium. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So I never got to go to the old stadium. I've been to games of Comerica. But I remember my mom telling me a story when she was younger and she went down there for a game. She was like, I parked in our whole parking lot. Every car battery was stolen. This is like probably 1978. Wow. She's like, yeah, I remember we parked and every car's battery got stolen.
Wow.
You know, so, but it's funny when you drive by there and you see that they still have the wall up, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy to see that was the original.
My dad's got two of those seats from the old Tiger Stadium.
But, you know, the Comerica Park's great, man. It's a fun time. The food, they got great food and great beer, of course. And I took my kids there a few times and they loved it.
I think. The first time I brought my older daughter, I think she was 5 at the time, they got to go run the bases at that day. And I snuck my ass out there. I'm like, I'm going to run the bases with her. Like, no, sir, adults can't go with the kids. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, bullshit, I'm going.
Yeah.
I had to go run the bases too. So
I remember as a little kid, man, like Whitaker, Entram, all those guys. And,
yeah.
And, you know, they sucked ever since. But
Well, my for my 40th birthday, my mom sent myself, my dad, my Uncle Kenny, and my cousin to Tigers fantasy camp. So we got to go play with the old school Tigers. And Lou was there. I forget who our coaches were, but my sister showed up late after we had done warm-up for the day because the Tigers were actually doing spring training there while we were doing our own shit.
Florida.
Yeah. So she was walking up to come see us play, and she saw Verlander out there warming up. So that was cool. But anyways, let's get back on hip-hop, and we got to talk about one of the greatest rap duos of all time, and that's Gangstar.
Yes.
Guru and DJ
Premier,
that duo together. And I was talking to my friend Troy the other night, because we sit in my driveway on Fridays and listen to rap and drink. I was like, you know what? I don't think I've ever heard a bad Gangstar song. There is not one stinker on any album.
Well, it's funny because they're a unique group because they're underrated. Because obviously, everybody, Wu-Tang, Tribe Called Quest, of course. Yeah. So, Outkast. Gangstar was like, if you're a hip-hop fan, that's your group.
Yeah.
And they're so unique because DJ Premier.
His voice, yeah.
Well, his voice. So what people don't realize, Guru is from Boston.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And then he moved to New York, and then Premier's from Texas.
Yes.
They met in New York.
Yeah.
And then DJ Premier, it's funny, a guy from Texas created the New York sound. You know, he was the producer in the early 90s. He was the man.
Yes.
I mean, Nas, Illmatic, if you got on Premier track, you had to be like special.
Right.
Jay-Z's first album, like you had to have a Premier track to like be acknowledged as like best in New York.
I'm trying
to think.
A guy
from Boston and a guy from Texas met in New York and created this incredible group. And Guru's voice, being from Boston, he kind of had that accent.
Oh, you know, I never put two and two together there for that. Yeah.
The voice is incredible. And with him and Premier, with the soundscapes and the beats in the background, it was incredible. And I don't think they get the credit.
No.
You know, but that's kind of why, maybe that's why I liked him as well. I like underdogs. I like the people that...
It was, it was one of those groups that I would play for my friends who all like, you know, like hardcore shit, like NWA and all that shit. And I would play Gangstar for him, or third base, or even De La Soul. And he'd be like, yo, man, this is bullshit. You know, we don't want to hear this stuff. I'm like, no, man, it's fucking
dope. They ain't saying that now.
No, they're not. Well, they don't even listen to fucking rap anymore. I don't think so.
Suck.
And then, of course, one of the all-time greats, which I didn't know until I was doing my research. They were the first group to get five mics in Source magazine, Tribe Called Quest, for their debut album.
Yeah, man. One of the best ever.
Tribe, in my book, goes on as one of the greatest of all time. Fucking Tribe. Rest in peace, Guru. Rest in peace, Five Dog.
Yeah, we're getting old, man.
I know, man. Everyone's are dropping like flies now, man. Even wrestlers are dying, too. So rest in peace, Iron Sheik.
R.I.P. Iron Sheik, man.
Man, I got foot. I used to love his feuds with Hogan as a kid, man. That shit was awesome. Him and Nikolai Volkov.
Yeah, man. That's the one thing about, I remember growing up here in Charlotte, is I went to South Mac, and I went to like Quail Hollow, and a couple of the wrestlers' kids all lived, like Beautiful Bobby's son and Great Barbarian, their kids all went to school me.
Yeah.
All those guys lived in Charlotte, man. Arn, Ric Flair.
They all do still, yeah.
Yeah, man. Ricky Dragon Steamboat. I remember going to Independence Arena or whatever it's called, Bojangles. And seeing the Bushwhackers and all. Yeah, man. Yeah. So Charlotte, people don't realize this was the spot for wrestling.
It was. It was the southern
headquarters,
spot.
Right? Like WCW. Yeah.
No. That was in Atlanta, but
Four Horsemen. Yeah, they lived here, man.
I was just in Tampa, seeing my sister, and I forget which part of Tampa that we all went to. It was like a really fancy part of Tampa. Like, everyone was driving Maseratis and Porsches.
That's Florida, man.
And it was in South
that's Florida,
Tampa.
That's Florida.
And I was just standing there in the street, and I hear, woo, and I look over. And sure as shit, it was Ric Flair.
Yeah, man. He lived here for a long, long time.
He did, man. He's in Tampa now. Then that next day, me and my wife went to... I thought I turned my phone off. Whoops. We went to Hogan's Beach Shop, and then he has his own bar down there now too.
Sure.
Yeah. So I wish he was there, but whatever.
So yeah, when I used to work at I worked for a restaurant group back in the day, and they opened Cowfish in South Park. I was there for the opening and helped develop their bar program. And at the time, Ric Flair lived in the apartments above Cowfish. He would come in every day and get sake. And he was a great dude. He used to tip great. He tried to arm wrestle people.
Oh, really?
I mean, there's stories about him, you know. But he
saw him once.
You know what? I treat. Sometimes I shouldn't do this, but I judge people off how they treat service industry people.
Yeah.
And he was always treated servers well, treated waiters well, tipped well. So that's,
you
know, it doesn't mean you're a perfect person, but if you can treat industry people well, that means something to me.
Yeah,
I don't like people that, obviously, in this industry, I don't like people that treat
servers and like shit and think they're above them and better.
Exactly.
What'd you get, Ernest?
Ern got the stuff.
It's a Baltic Porter.
Oh, Porter. Okay. Yeah.
That's our collab that we brewed over at Hot Fly.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I looked up. I saw a Baltic Porter.
Yeah, man.
Rarely do you see a Baltic Porter anymore. So right. I was like, oh, I got to have that.
Yeah. I think OMB is one of the guys that make a lot of.
Make a Baltic Porter, yeah.
Baltic Porters,
People don't realize it's a lager.
I mean, I drink craft beer anymore, but I still remember everything about it. Still in the back of my head.
Excellent.
Ernest approved.
Love it.
By the way, I drank Wolf at the Door. It's a Artifact Cider Project. They're out of Florence, Massachusetts. So, yeah. Oh, no shit. I have a buddy I trade with out of Florence. That's why he sends me the stuff all the time. Now I know. All right, man. Hey, Chris L., thanks.
Now you know where it comes from, right? Yeah.
So that was the 90s there. That was all the 90s I had left to talk about there. Modern day, have you ever heard or listened to Atmosphere?
Yeah, I like Atmosphere and I've been in that a little bit. For modern day, there's not too many people I'm into. It's weird. I listen to all the old school stuff, but nowadays I love Freddie Gibbs I love anything the Alchemist does, anything the Madlib does.
Yeah.
So Currency, Freddie Gibbs, all those Action Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
I love J. Cole.
Yeah.
And I love Kendrick. So he's, I love he's people. On my list. Yeah. I love Vince Staples. I love people that sound Griselda, so Conway, all those guys, that whole crew, Conway the Machine. Yeah. I love people that Rock Marciano. I love people that sound like old school hip hop.
Yeah.
They still play it now, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. So the Atmosphere, I used to think his name was Atmosphere. The guy that raps, his name is Slug.
Yeah, Slug, yeah. Atmosphere's a group.
Yeah, that's a group. I didn't know that for years.
I used to love like Blue and Exile's another one that was great.
Yeah, yeah.
LA. But I love now like anything Alchemist does, Madlib does. More of the beats, you know, Action Bronson again. All the Griselda crew from New York, which they sound like old school boom bap.
Yes.
80s, 90s, that's what I listen to. I love J. Cole. He's from North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, Kendrick. He's originally from Germany, but yeah. But then
he's an Army kid. Yeah. Now a part owner of the Hornets.
Oh, really?
He's part of that. Cool.
Like, what's the country guy that, I don't know the country. With Eric.
Oh, Eric. Eric Church?
Yeah, I don't know shit about that guy.
So wait, last I knew it was Nelly and...
Well, Jordan has sold...
Michael Jordan, so...
He just sold the majority stake like a couple days ago.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I know that, okay.
All right. So, he made a couple billion.
I think it's finalized today or yesterday.
Oh, really? So, I got into J. Cole because of my daughter.
Oh, really?
So, you know, she loves... hip hop, and she listens to almost all hip hop and like R&B, and she'll, you know, we'll be driving, Dad, can we put on something that I like? I'm like, yo, that's fine, but don't put any bullshit on. I'm like, give me your best song. And she put on some J. Cole. It was that song that was just playing. I'm like, yo, this is dope. Who is this? She's like, it's J. Cole. I'm like, oh, I think he's from North Carolina. So he was born on a military base in Germany
and grew up in Fayetteville,
and then grew up in
Army kid.
Fayetteville, yeah.
Fayetteville's rough spot.
It is. It's the armpit of North Carolina, if you ask me.
But I think there's a Bucky's there at least.
I've done a lot of work on
Fort Bragg.
I've never been. I'm good, man.
Base vac work. We want to go.
Been there many times.
Hold on. Make sure no one's looking. We had to go work in Delta Force, and it was.
Hey,
red dot in your head.
Hey, yep.
They don't exist.
I know. Well, it's funny, man, because when you're out there working, you see all these guys in like all their gear, and then you see some dude running with muscles and a beard on. You're like, that dude's a badass. Don't fuck with him.
He's killed people.
Yeah, I mean,
normally you only grow a beard when you're out of country. But
this was like 20 years ago, so I'm pretty sure I'm safe to talk about it now. But you know.
You think you're safe.
But they would tell you, like, you weren't here. You don't know about this place. You don't tell people about this place. I can't tell you how to fucking get there because you would go there, you'd hop on a bus with all your tools, and they would drive you in.
Were you blindfolded?
No, we weren't. But, it was funny because we were riding into base one day, and the guy on the bus, he goes, don't ask questions. Don't be a smartass. And some dude goes, hey, man, what's underneath that tarp? He goes, turn this fucking bus around. This dude's kicked off the base. Serious is fucking serious, dude. Done. Gone.
Yep. Don't joke.
Nope. They weren't fucking around.
Yeah, that's where they're at.
Yeah.
Good.
But another modern act that I love is, we briefly talked about it for a minute, was Run the Jewels.
Yeah, man, Run the Jewels is great. It's weird because it's like, for me, I remember them from before they got together. So you got LP, which was Company Flow. Early, late 90s, early 2000s, New York, independent hip hop. Yeah, Killer Mike, who's from Outkast. And the fact they got together is crazy to me.
But they, they met through the Cartoon Network.
Yeah, Adult Swim, yeah.
Yeah.
So the one song when they first got together was Reagan from Killer Mike. It was off Killer Mike's album. It was called Reagan, a great song. And that's when they started working together. I think LP, because he makes beats too. I think he produced it.
Yeah, he was the producer. Yeah.
And after that Reagan song, so everybody go look up Reagan.
Yeah.
Killer Mike, Reagan song. And then they started getting together, and they've been incredible ever since.
Their first album was a free download.
That song we just played, that's like old school Nice and Smooth right there. Back and forth.
But that's off their last album.
Yeah, we're playing like it's...
Yeah.
And it works, man. Two dudes, one from the white dude from New York, you know, black dude from Atlanta, two grew up in two different forms of hip hop, yeah. And they came together and they make an amazing group. I think it's incredible.
Yeah. Killer Mike had his debut on an Outkast album.
Well, Outkast is the one who.
Stankonia, so yeah.
The whole world.
The whole world.
But yeah, it's pretty incredible the union they formed, and they've been able to make four incredible albums together is amazing.
And they we were talking about this earlier. They got their name from a LL Cool J song,
yeah,
Cheesy Rap Blues.
Yeah,
and they in the song it's
Killer Mike just came out with an album, a solo album, last Friday. It's really good, man. He's a song with Andre 3000,
right?
Incredible. And Future.
He's going to be in town.
You know, Future is Andre 3000's cousin.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but there's a new song in the Killer Mike album with Future and Andre 3000 that's really good.
Hmm.
About scientists and engineers. It came out last Friday. Really good album.
I'll have to check it out because Killer Mike's in town soon, and also
he's playing the underground.
Yeah, it's not a Saturday night too, so I'm
be good crowd, good show.
I think I'll make it. Now also, LL Cool J's 50th birthday party for hip hop tours coming through.
Yes. Right,
July 9th, LL Cool J, DJ Jazzy Jeff, The Roots, Redman, Rakim.
Wow, DJ Jazzy Jeff is has some incredible mixes online, man.
Yes,
he
does.
He's a really good DJ. Great mixes on SoundCloud or any of stuff. And look up DJ Jazzy Jeff. He has some great mixes.
Yeah, he does. I was a huge fan of theirs, DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince back in the day. Keep my fucking name. I can't. I still can't believe that shit.
Those songs are great, man. I remember. Remember during the pandemic, you watched The Last Dance, right? Jordan documentary.
No, I didn't.
You never watched The Last Dance?
No.
What?
No.
All right.
So I did just watch.
Where were you, bro?
The Nike film that just
so during
came
the pandemic,
out,
there was a documentary came out called The Last Dance. It was like. There was no sports on TV. Everybody was just yearning for anything mm-hmm. sports related, and they came out. ESPN came like an 8-part documentary about Jordan Bulls, and they played like a clip of Jordan's rookie year when he was like schooling Larry Bird, and it was like an LL Cool J song, and it was like fucking killer, man. It was like amazing.
You gotta go back.
What are you doing, bro? What were you doing in the pandemic?
I was still working, man.
I was too, man. I would come home and watch that shit. I was here every day, man. I would come home and watch that shit. Yeah. I was looking forward to it. There was no sports on TV.
Yeah, there was nothing except.
It was crazy, man. So wrestling. It's funny. I'm a big soccer fan, so that's the one thing that saved me. Is that was the first thing that came back was like Premier League soccer at 7 a.m. And I would watch that shit to be so happy there was a something. And it was weird because there's like nobody in the crowd. It was just like dudes playing any stadium. I was like, this is amazing. I was like, just give me something, man.
It was weird watching.
I think Korean baseball was the first thing that came back.
What was it?
Like Korean baseball. And they were like playing on ESPN and shit. And it was like incredible. I was like, just give me something.
Even wrestling had no audience. They would put like TVs in the crowd and then let people go out there and just do like a Zoom type of deal to where you can have your face shown.
Yeah.
And you can see yourself on TV watching wrestling. That was fun.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Anyways, I think I'm going to try and take my daughter to that LL show, though, man. However, prices are not cheap, so if you got any free tickets out there, yeah. I just need two. Do you got anything going on soon at Salud?
We have. Hey, when are you posting this?
This will probably come out, 2 weeks?
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah, about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Shit. Well, by then, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Well, it's next week, we got another half event. But that'll be already done.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. We're going to keep it. We'll just come here and get good pizza, good beer, and just we always got something.
Chill
going.
Out at Salud.
Yes.
During college football season.
Yeah, man. All the Michigan games.
Michigan games are always. I came here once to watch a game, and you weren't here. I was like, "Where the fuck?"
Well,
is
I can't be here during the Michigan games. I'm a madman.
That's true. Yeah.
Give me my business.
I throw shit around. I get pissed. That last game versus TCU killed me, man.
I know what you're talking about.
I was throwing, and then, dude, it came down. It came.
I don't want to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
Ohio State lost the next made it.
Yeah. Hey, at least we beat Ohio State, so. Wow. Fuck them. Fuck Ohio State. I don't care who I'm pissing off. I don't give a shit. Fuck Ohio State. Fuck the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, Bears.
I hate the Bears. I don't think I've ever told you guys that story.
The Bears suck now. Well, sorry.
Well, no. The Bears gave up everything.
You don't like the Packers either, do you?
No. Well, I'm so happy Aaron Rodgers is gone.
Yeah, they're going to be bad for a while. Yeah.
I mean, the fucking Jets will have fun with
them. They lucked into Brett Favre and then fell into Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
About time they have a bad quarterback. Yeah. Lions are on the come up, man.
I really do hope so, man.
Hutchinson, you know?
I own his jersey. It was funny. Last year when the Panthers played the Lions here in town, we all went. I mean, my parents came in for Christmas. The Lions are having great games, and we played the Panthers. And sucks. I don't know what the fuck happened, dude.
Frozen field.
It was cold as hell. And, I mean, even my dad, who was with me, he's like, this is out of reach, man. Let's just go. It's too cold. All right. We fucking left. So, I had forgotten to mention a few weeks ago, I went down to New Brooklyn Tavern in Columbia, South Carolina, and went to go see the Subhumans, great old school punk band. I don't want to talk bad about the venue, but I was not a fan of that fucking venue at all. I wish I would have played the Milestone, but they didn't, so whatever. But there's not too many shows coming up. I know Social Distortion was going to come through, but they canceled because Mike Ness has cancer and his tonsils. So yeah, so that show canceled. X is actually playing Saturday night at the Neighborhood Theater with Squirrel Nut Zippers, but I'm on call. X, they're like an old school. Yeah, they're playing right next door.
Probably get a crowd for that.
Oh, yeah. It's on a Saturday night. And Squirrel Nut Zippers, I've never seen. I've always wanted to, but I'm on call this weekend, so I won't be doing shit. Right. Oh, well. Anyways, how are we on time there, Ernest? We good? All right. So I think we're about to wrap up things, man.
All right.
Thank you, Jason, for being on the show.
Thank you, man. This is fun, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
See you guys. Adios.
Setting up dollars for their summer fling. Cars on the avenue create gridlock. And there's girls like mad at the bus stop. Not waiting on the bus, but waiting on the cash flow. Fellas are laughing, gas in the past hole. Girl steps to me and pushes issue. That knife you got, is that money or tissue? Feeling on the bulge, thinking it's her own. I tell her that it's money and she should move on.
We have a lot of interesting episodes coming up about music's most interesting topics, but we want to hear from you and what episodes you'd like to hear. If you have an idea for anything we should talk about, email us at mvibespodcast@gmail.com. This episode was produced by BWM Productions. If you like our podcast, please help us by rating and reviewing us on your favorite listening platform. And follow us on Instagram and Facebook at mvibespodcast. Come on and join in the conversation.
Don't get the time of day, play like suede on a summer sway. Conversated till I made a laugh. Said I'm Pete Nice. You want my autograph? Oval Office closed as she heard this. She said from third base I could do this. Listen closely, slowly took a swig of intoxicants. Cause the Brooklyn Queen's a gold digger.
Yeah, looking for Brooklyn.